online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Sorry. Good evening, AfterBuzzers. We are here at the AfterBuzz TV studios giving you everything American Horror Story Season 4. I am your host for the evening, David Skifalidi, joined by Hega Rad to my left, to her left, Anna Koppel.
Hi.
And then to her left, Oriana Leo.
Hi, everybody.
Anna, it's been a long time.
I know.
Welcome back.
Thanks, good to be here.
Good. I'm glad you're back. And Pega, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you.
Okay, so tonight's episode, episode 3, Edward Mordrake, part 1.
Yes.
Say it.
I know you're thinking it. I just kind of felt like this episode was a little... That's my sound effect. Just for this, Anna and I were talking about it before I went on air, this... The series is still unpacking so much information. Mm-hmm. We're meeting so many characters. Just not that much action. I honestly was missing Coven during this episode. I'm like, I want to see somebody bleed. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen. But I understand that it's a process and we're only on episode 3. And it's a two-parter. So clearly the second part's probably going to bring
I'm
a lot more
you
info.
Only because I feel like since this season's episodes are so much longer. Yes. I feel like we're much further into the story than we ever have been before. But, you know, I enjoyed tonight's episode.
They are so long. I just feel like I think it raises my expectations. Like, because they're so long, I want more. And I don't know that I feel like I'm getting it.
Well, I think, yeah, from the first episode when it was an hour and a half, it surprised me. And I was like, okay, but they're unpacking a lot. And then we're going to get really into the action. And it just hasn't quite happened yet. And that's okay, but we have high expectations, I think, from Ryan Murphy and for American Horror Story in general. So, but it's time. Let's do this.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like they're going to deliver any minute now. It's just going to like, bam.
Any Hit second us. Now. Everybody's yeah. dead. We started out tonight's episode in a museum. What was it called? It was
the
called
American Morbidity Museum.
Great name. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's really exists, because...
They have a museum of death in Hollywood. Yeah,
They do. And they do have stuff like that there, like mm-hmm. two-headed snakes and mm-hmm. things like that. We should all take a little
field trip.
And we meet Stanley and...
Esmeralda.
But what's her real name?
Well, they call her Miss Rothschild.
Right.
So I don't think we know her real name.
And they call him Sylvester something.
Yeah, right. Mansfield. But I don't think we know.
Yeah.
We only know that she's Miss Rothschild, and then she's Esmeralda.
And then she becomes Esmeralda. Well, we meet them tonight, and we know from things that are out there, little teasers and things, that they're con artists.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And clearly we find that out from the first episode, where they're trying to sell a baby goat with a jaw sewn onto it. Is that what he
as
said?
As a Sasquatch,
as a Sasquatch.
Yeah.
A fetal goat with a cat jaw sewn onto it as a baby Sasquatch.
A cat.
That takes
jaw.
Creativity.
Mm-hmm. It does.
I agree.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, there's a lot about tonight's episode that's sort of just like, and I'm gonna say it. I feel like you have something on your mind and you want to say it, so say it.
I don't want to open a whole debate about
things. Do it.
But I'm not going there.
This
right
is
now.
The place to do it.
No, okay. It's not. It's not the place for this. Okay. Not right now. No.
All right. Fine. Now I'm curious.
We'll talk about it off
okay.
air.
Okay, fine, whatever. But I feel like these two characters, since they're new characters again, and mm-hmm. I know it's only episode 3 and we're still meeting everybody, what is the point?
Well, the point is we have someone to once again reiterate that nobody cares what happens to freaks. Remember?
Yes.
Like, we have... Okay. This is the messenger. I feel like another vehicle for the message that this guy, Stanley, has no problem murdering a freak in order to get a body because, as he says on the phone, nobody cares what happens to these people. So they're the anthropomorphization of everybody else. You know, the outside world is entering the freak show and they're going to wreak havoc because they don't care. Right? They're out for themselves.
They don't care and they're a threat to the freak show. So that's like another reason why Elsa maybe can get overprotective again, or the freaks come in and protect each other.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I didn't look at it like that.
Tell us.
Because I looked at it as this is another villain coming into the story, and we already have Twisty and Dandy. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather see Twisty and Dandy's storyline start meeting up with the freaks' storyline.
Right.
And, like, meshing those two as opposed to bringing another villain into the story.
Hmm. I think it's going to get really weird, honestly. Like,
it seems like it's going to get weird.
I feel like they're going to keep adding on these characters, and we're going to sit here going, what's the point, what's the point? And then it's going to be some weird, big orgy later.
Well, Esmeralda... orgy. Woo! Esmeralda, or Emma Roberts. I'm calling her Emma Roberts because we don't know if her real name's Esmeralda. Anyway, she... feels bad about being there, but she also is a very keen observer, which is where she comes up with her...
Yes.
Reading.
And a great actress as well.
Great actress.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what her backstory is.
Like her
character. Yeah, her character's backstory. Like, what? How did she get involved with Stanley, who clearly doesn't want to sleep with her? So how did they team up? Like, what is going on there? I'm curious.
Yeah, maybe we'll find more soon.
Huh.
But yeah, very observant. I mean, she comes into Elsa's room, or was it Elsa's room? Yeah, and looks at three things and boom, like had the best prediction. I was like, wow, I would have never seen those three things.
Good judge of character too, I think. I know.
I'm just kind of like,
I don't know how anybody can make a decision based off like some stickers on their suitcase, but she's great job, I think, at conning her.
Yeah.
And Elsa seemed like the kind of person too that, not Elsa can't be conned because obviously her vanity and her thirst for fame make her an easy target, but she seems like, I guess she was also smoking opium, which probably took her defenses down a little bit. So now that I think of it, it was a perfect storm.
Don't smoke heroin.
Yeah.
That's my PSA. I'm done. Sorry, when you said backstory, my head just started like thinking about things because I wasn't even thinking about her backstory.
Well, and Stanley is a freak show of his own. He's got a freak show in his pants. We don't know what it is yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming he is the one with the ginormous, I wrote dong on my notes. And if Sarah was here, I would say penis. But because she's not here, even though I just said it. Whatever.
Penis is the correct term.
Yeah.
I know, but Sarah doesn't like that word for some reason.
Shout out to you, Sarah.
Shout out to Sarah. Oh, no, she doesn't like wiener.
Oh.
That's what it is. Okay. Sorry. Right. Now that I've gone through the various terms to call... Sorry, I'm losing it. It is warm in here. Someone else talk. I can't think.
Okay, so he has a large penis.
In the preview, in the opening, there's the man with the three legs.
Right.
So I'm assuming that's him.
Right.
He's also gay, right?
I think so.
Well, definitely. He hired that Viking as a prostitute, I'm assuming.
Yeah. He was going to go to work. So I'm pretty sure that he's gay.
Okay. Uh-huh. Whatever. I feel like right now those characters are not that important.
They're not. They're not just introduced.
And they were now, just introduced.
Like, they're kind of like the freak show to the freak show. Like, they're the sideshow.
Right.
Oh. Of the whole, you know, entire story tonight, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest thing is really, is Ethel, I feel like.
Oh, so much with Ethel this episode.
So much unpacked
with
Ethel.
She really opened up.
It was kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It was.
I got teary-eyed.
To see her in the doctor's office, and I was confused at first. I didn't quite understand, like, is this present day? How did she get to the doctor's office? Like, do they even see doctors? I mean, a lot of them have stuff wrong with them already, and it kind of seems like the medical profession doesn't take them seriously, which she admits. She starts crying because this is the first doctor that's ever treated her with respect.
Aww.
Which is really, I mean, sad to hear. And it was actually a really touching moment. Mm-hmm. And I think was a lot more effective at humanizing these characters mm-hmm. for the audience mm-hmm. as opposed to last week's episode when they were just shouting, we want to be normal, we want to be normal.
They were telling, not showing. And yeah. We're getting a little more show and tell. And to think about, if she has cirrhosis of the liver, she's been a heavy, heavy alcoholic hurt for many, many years. And the only reason that that happens is usually pain. Really deep pain.
You start to feel it, right?
Well, just the point of the emotional pain.
Oh, emotional pain.
Why else would you drink yourself, you know, into...
a tizzy?
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's usually pain, and we get to find out more about that. But just the diagnosis itself was kind of shocking.
Yeah.
And sad.
I mean, she carries so much on her shoulders, just the guilt that she has with Jimmy, mm-hmm. exploiting him since birth. And Del never loving her.
Okay, so I really disliked Del before, but now, like, I really want Edward Mordred to take him because he's a real asshole. He took everything from her.
Yeah.
She was successful, and he managed her exclusively to the point and drove them into poverty.
Yeah.
In which he impregnated her and then left? What an ass.
Yeah.
But she listened to him. She saw that the act wasn't going anywhere good. And
it was going to Paris.
But she stayed with what wasn't working.
I thought the three ring was working.
But
all the girls dancing.
It was that working. Was,
right. And then switched. He was saying, like, oh, they don't want that. What they want is something sophisticated.
Which they didn't.
Right. But she listened to him. And even after she saw it wasn't working, she still stayed with that act. And
true.
So, I mean, I feel like it's unfair to completely blame him.
And also, you know, I feel like it's one of those things, like, they were in love, and he was like, I'm going to manage her, and I'm going to make her a huge star. It's not something that he could have anticipated.
Well, he was an idiot. He didn't know what he was doing.
Well, yeah. Does
he
anybody?
He was clearly wrong.
Does
right?
anybody know what they're doing in the entertainment world? No. It's, you know, you throw some spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks.
True.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just, like, one of those things. This just didn't stick.
Yeah. I don't know.
And then they were poor, and he needed to raise money for their family.
So he pimps out his pregnant wife.
I can't
disgusting.
Believe that.
It was disgusting, yes.
But he's a hustler.
He is a hustler. You gotta make that coin when you can make that coin.
Hold the freak for 2 minutes or two bits.
Two bits
to hold the freak.
Hold the freak, baby.
It's like, oh no.
Really sad. Really sad.
Poor little Jimmy.
Why do you think Edward Mordrake and the devil demon face doesn't take Ethel? Why is she not the one?
Ooh.
I think because she repents what she did.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think that's
really opening up.
A lot of the things that happened to her were out of her control.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't point the finger or blame. She takes responsibility for mm-hmm. it all.
Interesting. So is it's only the face that chooses? Yeah. Edward doesn't choose?
No, he's the slave
he
to the demon face.
Oh, got it.
He can't do anything about it.
We should talk about Edward. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Who caught the full story? Did anyone catch the full story of who he is?
He was an aristocrat from the mid-1800s, mm-hmm. and he had all kinds of titles.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to kill the face on the back of his head by drowning it, but it would never die. So he was put into an asylum.
Ooh.
We keep hearing this every single episode. Asylum, asylum, asylum. He was put into an asylum, but he escaped to join the freak show.
On Halloween, right?
No, he joined the freak show, but on Halloween, he famously murdered everyone and hung himself, and this demon face was left smiling.
Yeah.
Which is why the freaks don't perform on Halloween.
Right.
For fear of resurrecting him or summoning him.
Yes.
Good story.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Ethel had all the great moments tonight.
She did. She had everything.
Yes.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, at first I thought, you know, when Elsa's saying that's what summoned Edward, mm-hmm. right? And at first she kicked Dot and Bette off the stage. I thought, like, oh, she's being such a jerk and, you know, she's like hogging the spotlight again. But maybe she was actually protecting them in that moment because she was the one summoning Edward. Does that make sense?
Hmm.
I feel like she wants to get rid of them.
Yeah.
She hates Dot and Bette. They are the biggest threat to her career.
But had they been the ones singing, wouldn't they be the ones summoning him?
Yeah. But we don't even know what that means yet. Because Ethel didn't do any summoning, and she got the first visit.
That's true.
Yeah, so is it because you sing, he just shows up and takes somebody?
If you perform.
He just shows up and takes whoever. It doesn't have to be the one that was performing.
We don't know.
Apparently, he's looking for a A true freak.
Yeah.
Hmm. A true freak.
That's right.
What does that mean?
Exactly. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
What do you guys think?
I love David's theory. I like the idea that, like, Ethel has a pure soul on some mm-hmm. level because she repented, and that maybe a true freak is someone with, like, a black soul. I don't know. I don't know what the demon face thinks.
It's got to be Del, then, if that's the theory.
Yeah. Right? So that's kind of what I was hoping, was that it's Del because he's got a black soul. But they're bringing someone back with them to the depths of hell. So it has to be someone that doesn't have a lily white soul or conscience, you know?
Right.
I don't think it can be Del.
I want it to be Del, but I don't think it can either.
I don't think it's going to be Del. Yeah. Only because of, I'm going to spoiler alert of what we know about Matt Bomer coming in.
Oh. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
It gets warmer in here by the second.
I know.
It
does. I'm really. Sorry. Very distracting.
It is distracting.
If we seem off our game, AfterBuzz TV audience, it's because we are sweating profusely in the studio.
Get into it. Sweat out the toxins.
That's all that talk about Stanley.
Who's Stanley?
By the way, at the premiere, I ran into Stanley. I forget what his name is, the actor's name, but he has this...
Dennis O'Hare.
Mm-hmm. He has this great little, like, worm mustache. I ran into him. I was like, oh, I can't wait to see your performance. And he's like, oh, I'm not going to be on. I would be too nervous. This wouldn't be fun at all.
Wow.
Very nice. Then we parted ways.
Aww. That's fun.
Yeah.
Fun little side
fun
note.
Fun fact.
Yeah. So let's talk about Gloria and Patti LaBelle.
Oh, man.
And
my gosh.
Dandy.
Dora. She has a name now.
I know.
We finally get her name.
Patti
I know.
She's Patti LaBelle and she's amazing.
I can't believe.
Right?
Her Woody Woodpecker was incredible.
So spot on. Yeah.
So spot on.
I love that she stands up to Dandy, that she's like.
She is very sassy.
She's very sassy, but there's part of me that feels like. She knows that she could be in peril. Like, why else do you call someone out? Like, I know that you killed all those animals.
Yeah.
I feel like she wants Dandy to know that she's on to him. Why? I don't know. Just so that he doesn't cross the line.
Well, she also says to him earlier on, I work for your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, right.
And she doesn't believe that he can actually hurt humans or kill anybody. Like, you can't do that.
She says that, but I wonder if the reason she's saying it is to protect herself. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you bait and goat someone, I feel like they're less likely to stab you in the back. I don't know. She knows he's a coward. Why else do you kill animals?
Right.
Right? You're a sociopath. You're taking it out on poor, defenseless animals. So he hasn't graduated to, like, actual defensible humans.
But don't sociopaths start with animals?
They all do, yes.
Yeah.
So he could graduate to Dora.
He totally could. And that's why I was wondering why she calls him out. Like,
I don't think that known fact about people killing small animals was a...
common known fact in 1952?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, like, a sign to look out for.
And also, Dora does say, like, I've known you since you were... You know, I've raised you since you were a child.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't take him seriously, but she hates him.
Yeah. He's very hateable.
He is.
He is.
I wore my hair like him tonight.
Yes.
We love it. What they want.
That's great.
Giving the pins what they want. It took me forever. Oddly enough.
Gloria is amazing.
She's my favorite character.
Just, I don't know if you guys noticed, but there was a floral arrangement that was kind of like in a ball that had Halloweenish colors. I was so impressed by it. Like, only in Gloria's house would you see this beautiful, like, $100 floral arrangement.
Yeah.
And in the 50s. She's so, she loves to exploit her wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves showing it, even though it's only for her son.
Right.
Like, there's no... She didn't invite anybody else over. She's not having a party. She goes through all this pomp and circumstance just for her son, whom she loves unconditionally, and he acts like a brat when he gets the costume, the howdy-doody costume.
Oh, my gosh. He just, like, threw a fit.
He broke crystal, I believe.
Yeah.
Very
crystal.
Expensive. Yeah, hello. Very expensive.
Very expensive. And then he makes his own costume where he glues patches onto his silk pajamas.
Mm-hmm. He wants to be twisty.
Totally.
He's a psychopath.
I think he is a psychopath. I think he found his only friend, the only person that he looks up to.
The only person who he can relate to.
He can relate to. We don't know what happened last time, right? We see Twisty and Dandy meet, and
And then they, like, disappeared into the bunker.
So I'm guessing that they're forming a relationship.
Which I think is good for Twisty.
It's great.
I feel like he's so lonely.
Do you think they're falling in love?
No.
I don't know.
Or they're like brothers.
I just think they're so lonely, both of them.
Yeah.
And they both really need this friendship.
Now, have we agreed that Twisty's not there to kill the people, the little kids in the trailer?
Well, he did take another child tonight.
Right. Mm-hmm. But he's not there to kill them, per se. But well, I feel like Dandy...
I believe it was John who was asking, like, do you think Twisty is making a family?
Oh, yeah. Maybe. The family he never had.
Right? Is he feeding these people, though? That's what I would like to know.
Like, the little...
They don't look too bad.
They don't look like they're starving to death. Yes.
We know he brought them a toy. Right. I don't think we know anything else. So Dandy has that candy.
Sandwiches?
Did he bring the candy is the question, or did he find it in there?
Hmm.
I think he brought it.
I think he brought it.
Okay.
So then Dandy goes to stab the kid. So does he want to kill them? I feel like Dandy's going to want to kill, and Twisty's going to be like, oh, no, you're not touching my family.
Yeah.
You know? And then maybe that'll be kind
of
their
issue. We're
going to
have like a Real Housewives of New Jersey moment.
Twisty's going to be like, oh, no, you did it. I mean, if he could
That's going to be his one line.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh,
yeah. With that mouth under that mask.
Oh, my God.
No.
So that might be, I don't
know. I think all we can do, I guess, is at this point. Yeah. But, I mean, he seems happy to murder, but he knows who he wants to bring home.
Right.
He's very picky. And then there was another Peter Pan reference before, but I'm trying to figure out how this older boy plays into that.
Yeah, like, why didn't he take the guy's sister? Maybe because she was so
terrified.
Does
Peter Pan have two boys and a girl?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well then, maybe that's why.
It was John.
Michael. And Wendy. And that kid's name was Mike.
Yeah, so maybe the Peter Pan reference is correct, John.
Very good.
Mm.
Very. I'm loving it.
Clever witch.
Mm-hmm. What's happening?
I don't know
why I said that. I don't know either.
I'm telling you, I'm losing it tonight.
So we find out why Dell is such an asshole. He can't get it up.
Oh gosh, that was so disturbing to watch.
Right? Ugh. I like how how they did the close up on the hand on the.
We didn't need any of
disturbing.
That.
Disturbing.
We could have gotten that message across without the close up. Over the pants handy. We didn't need that.
We didn't need the hand DJ on
camera. You know,
camera.
I'm not sure that we could have gotten the message any other way.
The message was she was putting in work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's doing her job, her wifely duties.
Yes.
And trying to get some because she wants some.
And now we know why she was cheating on him when he killed that guy. Because she hasn't gotten any in forever. And he might be the strong man, but...
All
that
weightlifting is bringing the blood.
All those steroids.
The roids,
Yeah.
Well, I mean, did they have steroids, injectable steroids back then? It's the modern day equivalent of steroids.
Yeah.
Essentially.
There we go.
It is. The guy is super strong and impressive, but can't perform.
Yeah.
That sucks. And plus, she's got three boobs. And she's not getting any action. Like, you would think that would be stimulating to him.
But he's all talk because remember the last episode where she's like, I've got three titties and a ding dong. And he was like, it makes me the luckiest man on earth. But like, you're not even doing anything with that. So why are you
that's
acting
a sin.
Like...
That's a sin.
Well, maybe he's not actually attracted to her anymore.
Well, he got a boner and then it went away. He cannot maintain an erection.
Mm.
So I think he's attracted to her. He seemed like he was enjoying himself.
Mm-hmm.
Can't keep it. You were too rough with me or whatever he says. It's her fault, right? It's never her fault.
Not that we're not sensitive to
at all.
Those issues. Because we
to
are.
Erectile dysfunction?
Yeah.
Very sensitive.
Yeah. It happens. And it's always a shame.
It happens to everybody at least once.
Except to anyone.
I feel like
in here.
The show is taking a turn.
It is taking a really strange turn tonight. That's okay. You know, there's a storyline tonight. Oh. Yes.
I'm sorry. I just had to. I wrote down this quote from Dandy. Uh-huh. Curfews are for poor people.
I'm sorry. Brilliant. That was really
one of my
brilliant.
Favorites. Sorry.
There was a storyline tonight that, to me, is also getting a little disturbing and a little strange. Mm. The storyline between Dot and Bette and what's going on with the two of them.
Totes.
We saw at the end of last week, Bette was going to stab Dot.
Well, Elsa came to her and gave her the
Right, but we saw her raise the weapon. And then nothing, we did, right at the end. And then nothing happened.
I don't understand the sudden turn of Dot.
I don't either.
Like, so it just seems very sudden and very cruel. Mm-hmm. And perhaps she was this way all along. I mean, she was somber and the depressing one, you know, and Bette had all this life and optimism and hope. But it's like her job to crush her now. And she's doing so by having these dreams of wanting to be separated.
Yeah. That's having the best
Not
dream.
Not even necessarily but she separated. Didn't,
she didn't
just
even
have the other head removed.
Right? So how did this happen? Like, we had Bette, who was thinking about, you know, I'm going to off my sister. And now we have it the other way around.
Well, she had Jimmy paying attention to her. Mm-hmm. And then she had
the voice.
She's on stage and the star now. So she's like, I can have a complete life without her. I don't need her anymore. Mm-hmm. I think that was it.
Did you guys notice, like, the saw is from the opening credits?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
good catch.
There's, like, the saw, like, going in and cutting the
doll
apart.
The bone saw.
Yeah. Oh. I was like, ooh, coming to fruition.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a very disturbing dream that she had.
Yeah.
And the fact that she says that she wants to do it and she's going to find a doctor who's going to be willing to do it is even more
sad. On a mission.
But there's no evidence that they could survive separately. So it almost seems more like she just wants to kill her.
Right.
And behead her.
Right, because there is no evidence that they could.
They don't have we know that their reproductive systems, like, their whole lower half is fused. Yeah. They can't each have one leg and get her, you know? Like, I suppose they could be cut down the middle, but they can't live.
Yeah.
So.
And the circulatory system, too.
They had four sets of lungs, though, right?
Yeah, their upper bodies, but, like, their genitourinary tract is all single.
Right.
So you can't separate that. So I feel
but
like.
You could remove the head. That's what I'm saying.
I feel like that's what she's saying. She's essentially saying, I'm going to get rid of you.
Yikes.
Which is really sad.
They've been together forever.
Well,
like, it's really disturbing to me, you know?
Yeah.
It is. It's disturbing to me, too. That's why I said it.
They're not happy, you know?
But then
No, Bette is not unhappy.
That's true.
But Bette says, the last time, or the first time you tried to kill me, and I was thinking about that, I thought the reason that Dot did that was to make it look like she had a defensive wound when the cops came.
That's what I thought.
I didn't think she was actually trying to kill her. So is that, she's referring to a different time?
No, I think Dot tried to kill her because Bette's the one who killed her mom.
Yeah.
And I think Dot tried to kill her because she was like, we can't have this. We can't have you being this emotional and unpredictable and volatile.
She's a threat.
I think.
Okay.
Hmm.
I mean, that would make sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
My take was that she did it to be a defensive wound. So that a man came in and attacked them or something.
That's what I originally thought, too. But now it does make a lot of sense that it was a...
It makes a lot of sense that she'd want to off... If she wanted to off Bette, then this behavior makes more sense.
Yes.
Right?
Totally. To suddenly just want to get rid of her. She's dead weight.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, that's really sad.
It's really sad.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Who Elsa also wants to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Tonight she performed Lana Del Rey's Gods and Monsters. Mm-hmm. Love that song.
I thought it was amazing.
And we noticed that the music that was still up there on stage actually said Fiona Apple
on it.
Said
Criminal Fiona Apple.
Still don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know how I feel about that either. I don't know how I feel about having Lana Del Rey on the show.
But at least Del Rey is era appropriate. Do you know what I mean? Like, Lana Del Rey is a throwback to the 50s and 60s.
Right, the style of the
style.
Sure.
Her look, everything about her is a throwback. So I felt like, oh, okay, I'll be okay with this one.
Yeah.
But don't you feel like the song was appropriate?
Yeah.
I felt that the song was very appropriate.
Words,
I just still feel like when you throw in a Lana Del Rey song, I'm just like, oh, really?
Why can't there be a Peggy Lee song? Like, there's so many amazing songs from that era of the music they could use, but it wouldn't be Ryan Murphy, I guess.
No, it wouldn't. Which is fine. I mean, he has great, you know, musical tastes and people who work on the music for him, as evidenced by Glee, and, you know, whatever, more power to him. He's going to do what he wants to do.
That's true.
Exactly. It's his show. He can.
He can do whatever he wants.
That's his priority. Prerogative. What am I saying?
So what do we think is going to happen between these two? I mean, I'm really concerned for poor Bette because I feel like she's the naive one. She's the one that thought she was going to be a star. You know?
Yeah, I do feel bad for her. It's,
you know,
Dot's on a mission to get rid of her.
At first, I felt bad for Bette a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't anymore.
Why?
Why?
Only because, you know, she baited her sister and she she dragged her sister into a situation that she didn't want to be in, and now her sister's making the best of it.
Right. Interesting.
And it's something about Dot that Bette might not necessarily have known, and maybe Dot didn't know it herself, mm-hmm. but, you know, she's going to make the best of this situation.
You're totally right in the sense that Bette was the... was the camera hog before. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? She wanted everyone to know about how she was going to be famous and everything, and Dot just kind of sat there like, yeah, yeah, okay.
Right, and now
so
that
she's
not...
her revenge.
Exactly. Now that really she's not the center of attention, she's like, well, I want to be with you forever. Oh, how the tables have turned.
How convenient. Yeah.
Right?
Now that you're on the chopping block.
Now that you're talentless.
Oh, man.
Sad. Sad news.
Yeah, and really, Dot just wanted to be on the farm with her mom. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's like Bette took everything from her. She took her mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she took everything from her.
She took her quiet, like, peaceful life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that. I think you're right. She's
off
making the best of it.
Yeah. Terrible. I think they would both actually die.
Probably.
They'd probably bleed out.
That, or like... they wouldn't, but, like, that left side of the body or the right side of the body would, like, rot.
Or she'd have phantom pain.
Something like that.
Phantom pain. I've been watching... I just finished The Nick, and it's all about all that stuff.
Mm.
Cutting and bleeding. Mm. I could come up with all kinds of alternatives for that.
Maybe later.
Wait, another thing. Dot wants to rehearse no matter what.
Like, well, Dot, that's what I'm saying. She's making the best of a crap situation.
Yeah, but she wants to rehearse even though she knows about this whole... Edward Mordrake thing.
Well, up until now, no one actually knows if it's true. Ethel does tell us the story, and she like talks of something that happened
in Barnum in 1932.
But was she there?
She was there.
Okay.
Yeah. It just that to her that was proof. But
right, it could have just been convenient.
Yeah. But,
so it's sort of like one of those things. Sometimes we don't always listen to our elders, or...
But I was just... It's an example of how incredibly brazen Dot has become.
Yeah.
Right? Telling Elsa, like, no. We're the star of the show. We need to discuss our salary.
We're the headliners.
Yeah. Whoa. This girl's got some cojones all of a sudden.
Well, now she's got it in her head that she's going to save her money.
And
get out of Dodge.
Run
away with Jimmy.
Which, Jimmy... Has Jimmy really...
proclaimed his love?
Reciprocated at all? Like,
I don't
he
think
looks
she
at them... But with a smile, and he's nice.
No, he looks at Dot.
He does.
Like that. He does not look at Bette like that.
I haven't really decided that he is.
Yeah. He's looking.
I feel like he's a little bit of a womanizer, though.
He's
in
a
his
total
way.
Womanizer. Are you kidding? Yeah. With those awesome lobster claws.
But he doesn't look at Esmeralda when she shows up like that. Like all sexy eyes and...
But Dot is still threatened by her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, because... Wouldn't you be threatened by Emma Roberts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's gorgeous. She's scary.
Giving away who knows what for free.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Lord knows what's happening in those trailers on that set. That's inappropriate. I'm sorry. Does anyone have anything else? I don't know what's happening. I get very thrown off by very small things. I'm apologizing now. So, like, the first week I was thrown off by the fact that we weren't wearing our headphones, and then...
Yeah, get it together. It's showbiz.
I know. I can't get it together. Now we're in a different room, and it's hot. It's Hades.
Can we talk about Edward Mordrake and how he's played by...
Wes Bentley.
Who is a musician, right?
Oh.
He was in American Beauty.
Oh,
yes,
American Beauty.
He
That's
played
right.
like the boyfriend who had the videotape of the plastic bag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen him in a while, I feel like.
No, he kind of fell off the radar. He was in.
Didn't he do some directing for a while? He was directing things.
Guys, I will look up
We're going to look it up really quickly.
Right now.
But he did a really great job. That character is super interesting.
Mm hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, just like his elocution, the way that he speaks, and the way that he has to deal with
this.
Oh,
he's in the Hunger Games, duh.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, he was in the first Hunger Games, right?
He was a judge on the Hunger Games.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I wouldn't have remembered that.
But yeah, like talking to his
rear demon face. I think
it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. I think he does a really good job.
Is that a British accent he had?
I think it was like one. It was an affected.
Yeah.
Some kind of affected accent.
It's
it was 1800s old timey accent, I think.
Whatever it was pretty awesome.
It was good.
besides Edward and his awesomeness and Wes Bentley, was there anything else anyone wants to discuss about the episode particularly? Never mind.
What?
Nothing. You said we'll talk about it off the air.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm really curious to see what's going to happen in the second half of this story, because I just feel like it really left us hanging.
It did end in a very strange place.
Yeah. I just am kind of like, like I was saying.
I feel like Twisty is going to go inside the trailer and realize that Danny was in there trying to kill the kids and either be like, oh, high five, or...
I don't think Twisty wants anyone playing with his toys.
Right.
So do you know what I mean?
Something I think will... I'm going into predictions now, but...
Maybe we should...
Okay.
Maybe we should do that.
Does anyone have any news and gossip?
I do.
Ooh.
Okay, let's jump into news and gossip then.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Hit it, Pega.
Go, Pega.
So, there was an article on Vulture.com about how Sarah Paulson broke down on set because she was having this complete mind and body, you know, she's multitasking, right? So on one scene, she was trying to put butter on a piece of bread with one hand, and this hand was supposed to be writing, and then she was getting Dot and Bette mixed up, like the way that they were talking, and she just like had a meltdown, and so Ryan Murphy had to walk her outside and reassure her, you are a genius, you are so amazing, you can do this, and she's like, I'm so scared, this is like the hardest thing I've ever done.
She's probably losing her mind.
That is actually really difficult.
I mean, I can't even do like this thing, you know, like the padding that, you know, like with your different hands. I can't imagine having to actually learn how to eat and write, and
that would be very
ambidextrous.
Yeah, that would be extremely difficult. And we know the commitment that she has, because we learned last season when we had the makeup people come on, they were talking about her like sobbing with her prosthetic eye gouged out, and like how many times they had to stop and cut and like let her actual tears come out so that she could continue the scene. Like, we know that she's super dedicated,
right?
And insanely talented.
Yeah,
so talented.
Great.
Genius.
Fine.
Great. Great find.
And then you had something, right, about the Dante's Inferno. You want to talk about that?
Oh yeah, no, you have it too.
I do.
Share the news,
okay,
ladies.
Okay, so basically we're reading about some sort of theme that this whole series is based on, Dante's Inferno and the circles of hell. So back in the day, you know, it was limbo, lust, gluttony, greed, but they're kind of upping it to the 20th century. So, for example, Murder House was lust. The Asylum was abuse of power. Coven was prosecution and treachery. Freak Show.
And where did you get this information?
It was like movieplot.com or something like that.
I don't remember where I read it, but but so up until now, like, it's been my understanding that each season was a standalone season and that they weren't all connected, but then this theory is saying, that they are all connected, that it's all the characters are circling hell, and so that each season is representative.
Yeah. And also that each one of these settings in each of the seasons represent, you know, closed off the house. They were all in the house and they were all dead together. Mm-hmm. And then the asylum, they were all closed up in the asylum, you know, the coven, the academy, exactly.
In Dante's Inferno, there are like guardians at each of the gates of hell. And so like there's always a big bad in each of the seasons. And so like this season, it's Twisty. And you guys are going to have to help me out here. Last season with Coven, it was like the bull,
the Minotaur.
Yes, and and what was before that?
Asylum.
Asylum was Leatherface.
Yes,
and then who was it for?
Murder House, the evil doctor downstairs. I don't know,
or the suit. Maybe.
The house.
Yes, Leatherman.
Leatherman.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's a good theory.
So does that mean there's only going to be three more seasons, like to round it out, the seven?
Maybe.
That is actually a very interesting theory and would make sense with the same actors repeating. And
it would definitely tie it all together.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine Ryan wanting the catty out of the bag so soon.
No, I don't either. And like, I wouldn't imagine him wanting to just end at seven seasons.
No.
If he could go more.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, very clever.
Fans, let us know what you think. Yeah.
Anything else?
That's all. That's all my news and gossip.
Didn't you say that?
Yes. Finn Wittrick, I believe is his name, the actor who plays Dandy, got married over the weekend.
Aww.
So congratulations to him. I don't know who the woman is that he married.
It's his wife.
Roberts.
Sarah Roberts. his new wife. So congratulations to them. And the other piece of news I'm not going to share.
Oh, you're the worst.
Okay. I am the worst. But y'all can find it. It's circling around. It's about clowns. anything else?
Predictions?
Let's jump into predictions then.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
Okay. So, who is Edward Mordrake killing?
Oh.
Does anyone have any thoughts?
I think it's going to be Seal, the guy with all the tattoos, mm-hmm. just because he's like a little more of sort of like an auxiliary character,
right.
And he's a little defiant, so still kind of going with like your theory where he's like not...
he's a true freak.
Yeah, a true freak,
yeah.
Exactly. And yeah, I'm just going to go with that.
I have no idea. I want to say that it would be an auxiliary character, but I also feel like they love to shock us, right? And take somebody so soon.
I wish they would shock us.
Me too, right? I hope it's Del. I just hope it is.
I hope so too. I don't know if it'll be him, but I want it to be Del.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Del. I want him to get out of there.
No offense, Michael Chiklis.
Oh. I feel like it's going to be someone that we haven't gotten to know yet.
Hmm.
Like, he's going to go through all the other characters, and then something's going to happen, and it's going to be someone that we haven't met. Like, or gotten to know, or, like,
right.
know their
we
name.
We don't know their background.
We've seen them, but now they're gone.
Kind of like Meep. It might be,
exactly.
It's probably going to be
That's
another
what I mean.
Meep situation. Yeah, it's going to be an auxiliary character, most likely.
Maybe Piper's boyfriend. Pepper's boyfriend.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe that's why Pepper was alone in the asylum.
Yeah.
She just wanted her meatloaf.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? are there any other predictions as to what we would like to see next week?
I really want to see Twisty lose it on Dandy. Like,
yes.
I want Dandy to get it from someone he thinks is his friend. So I really hope that Twisty's mad that he's, like, playing with his family or his friends. And
that
he gets
would be fun.
Punished somehow.
Yes, he deserves it.
Say, I hope his mother punishes him, like, severely.
But his mother will never punish him.
She doesn't seem
died?
To notice anything.
Yeah. She doesn't even notice that Twisty's wearing someone else's skin on the street.
Yeah,
so she's
fair.
Not going to notice
that's
that her
fair.
Son's done anything wrong. Yeah, so that's my prediction and hope.
Hope?
My hope. My
oh,
hope.
And hope.
It's my hope that Twisty...
You're hoping.
Yeah, does
like,
something
what?
To Dandy.
Who's hope? Pega?
Maybe Dora's gonna, like, I don't know, backhand
open a can
Dandy.
Of whoop ass.
Yes.
Ooh.
I really want her to. That's
okay.
what I want. That's
I
my
like
hope.
That. Yes.
And then I think some sort of conflict with Dandy and Twisty, for sure. Especially the way they left it at the end.
Yeah.
Anna?
I already went.
You did?
Yeah.
You kind of just chimed in. Whatever.
Oh, I apologize.
Well, if there was anything else, I don't know if you were holding anything back. Whatever. I don't think I have any predictions. It's always hard for me to predict anything with a two-parter.
Yeah.
Because we've seen so much already.
It's going to close a tiny little story and then further us on the bigger story, essentially.
Right. So the Mordrake stuff is going to get closed, and then mm-hmm. we're going to go further, I think, with Dandy and Twisty. But, you know. I don't see anything else happening.
Yeah.
All right.
Where can everybody find you guys?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Pegarad.
You can follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR.
You can find me on Instagram at Oriana Leo, or Twitter is at Miss Oriana Leo. And please check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheOrianaLeo, and check out my vlogs as well as Running Errands in Hollywood.
Your blogs are very entertaining.
Thank
I'm just going to put that out there. I've been watching them.
Thank you.
you're welcome. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at You Can Call Me Skiff. Thank you guys for dealing with us tonight.
We're going to go air out after this.
from everyone here at the AfterBuzz TV studios, we will see you next week for episode 4. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.